Hello, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. This is the third part in our series about the Opium War. When we had left off, the Honorable East India Trading Company had claimed the island of what we are going to call, for the sake of ease, Hong Kong, but they were running short on supplies. Now, the Chinese were refusing to do any trading with the East India Trading Company, and in fact, they were halting just about everything trying to get into their ports. So in response to that, British proper, as in the Royal British Navy, actually set up a blockade outside of Canton, which was the major port through which Britain did its trading. Now, one of the East India Trading Company's ships actually tried to be a blockade runner, make it through that blockade, buy food in Canton, and then make it back out. That private ship was called the Royal Saxon, and when it attempted to blockade run, the Royal British Navy sent out a warning shot again against one of its own nation's merchant ships. After this happened, the Chinese actually sent out their own navy to defend that blockade runner. Please keep in mind that at the time, Britain had the most powerful navy in the world and very high levels of technology and very powerful ships. So when the Chinese Navy broadsided against the Royal British Navy, they were just absolutely demolished. The British ships had better firepower, they were faster, and just had better armor as well. In fact, in one exchange of cannon fire, the British Navy actually destroyed two of the Chinese Navy's ships in just one exchange of blows. It was just an incredible slaughter. In fact, most of the Chinese Navy at that point turned around and tried to retreat, go back to the port, except for the ship that had the Chinese admiral. He decided to stay and, you know, go down with the ship like a captain, I suppose, be a brave sailor. Seeing this, though, the captain of that, there was really no need to just outright slaughter that Chinese Navy and let them go back. The point had been made. The British moved to make a treaty, but the Chinese refused to give in to British demands regarding the ownership of what we will call Hong Kong. The British moved on to capture Chusan, an island that is near Shanghai. That battle ended up being very quick and painless. It was actually almost a completely bloodless encounter. Now, things might have sat here for a little while, but a opium runner actually came back with a rumor that the Chinese were planning a preemptive strike against the British. So, to preempt their preemption, the British actually attacked and kicked off what we call the Battle of Xinpei. Now, as to whether or not that opium runner is trustworthy is up to debate, but they definitely did end up attacking on the basis of an unsubstantiated rumor from an opium runner. Again, they won, but the slaughter was so horrifying that Superintendent Charles Elliot was actually glad to seek a peace treaty with the Emperor's envoy at this point. This battle saw about 300 or more Chinese deaths and less than 30 British injuries, and the British injuries weren't even actually from the fighting of the war. They actually had some ammunition that got overheated and ended up exploding next to them. Now, at this point, the Chinese were a little more amicable to a deal. The Chinese envoy actually agreed to let the British have Hong Kong and give the British better trade status in exchange for which Britain would return the land they had taken from Xinpei. But most importantly, they all agreed that foreign trade would go on in a more unrestricted manner. So this really was the best possible deal everyone could have gotten out of it, in theory, if anyone had agreed to it. As it turns out, once the higher-ups on both sides heard about this deal, the Chinese emperor actually ordered his envoy executed, although he didn't end up getting executed, and then Superintendent Charles Elliot was actually dismissed from his post because his higher-ups thought that deal was so bad. In hindsight, that is the best possible deal everyone could have gotten out of it. The Chinese really should have agreed to it because they were in no place to argue with a much militarily superior country, and really Britain could have cut the amount of investment they would have put on this particular war, but it didn't end up going that way. So the voices of reason fell apart, and what was the moderates of this particular conversation started to disappear. Things from here just get worse and worse for both sides. We'll go a bit more into that tomorrow. You are listening to the Mighty 690, your source for news, talk, and farm. Remember, if you like these little history segments I do, you can find them online at kggfradio.com. Click on the community tab and go down to On Demand. There you can find a history segment that looks interesting to you.